Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast. I'm your host, Catholic Answers apologist and speaker, Trent Horn. On Monday and Wednesday, we talk apologetics and theology, how to explain and defend the Catholic faith. But on Friday, we have Free for All Friday. It's a time to talk about whatever is buzzing around in my mind. Whatever, what's the buzz? What is happening? What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. Why do you want to know? Anybody? Anybody? Jesus Christ Superstar. You better believe it. So maybe I did musicals a while back for Free for All Friday. And I actually remember posting that on my main channel on YouTube. And it was one of the lowest viewed videos that I put up there. Because I guess enjoyment of musicals, maybe that's more of a niche phenomenon. Maybe not as many people enjoy musicals like I do. But on Free Fall Friday, we talk about what's happening. What are the haps, as a good friend of mine would say. And one thing that was in the news a while ago, but I want to talk about it now because I was just had so many strong opinions about it. I did talk about it a little bit on social media. I try not to get into too many political debates on social media or on this podcast. I really try to stay focused. But here, I just couldn't resist, especially seeing other Catholics having takes on this as if our faith required this particular political program. And the political program I'm talking about is President Biden's debt cancellation plan. So it's amazing to me that student loan payments were put on pause for federally backed student loans, were put on pause when the pandemic started. And, you know, I understand that it was a really weird time. People were prohibited by the government from going to work. A lot of people were out of a job or their businesses were closed down. And, you know, the government wanted to help people who were in hardship. And then it just kept getting extended and extended. You know, Trump extended the payment, repayment deadline. Then Biden kept extending it. And so the question is, okay, are student loans ever going to be repaid again? Now, I think for a lot, like if you're in the president and you've already had the student loan payments were suspended, it's like the game of hot potato. You don't want to be stuck with it at the end of the game saying, guess what? You all have to pay now. We have to start paying because then everybody's gonna be mad at you. So apparently the student loan payment pause is going to be extended only one more time. And it has nothing to do with the midterms that are coming up, but only one more time. And that there will be a debt cancellation, not the big debt. There were some liberal activists who wanted all student debt. It's something like, I don't know, $1.9 trillion, $1.5 trillion in debt just being wiped out. Of course, you can't wipe it out. Somebody has to pay it. That'd be the taxpayer. Or if you couldn't wipe out all of it, $50,000 per borrower. Instead, President Biden just did something that I think made everybody unhappy. So there's an article here at the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. And the article is entitled, How Long Before Canceled Student Debt Would Return? So it begins by saying, President Biden announced his plan to cancel up to $10,000 of debt for federal student loan holders and up to $20,000 for those borrowers who have received a Pell Grant. Only households who earn less than $250,000 a year or $125,000 for an individual will be eligible. So you've got people who will basically be getting $10,000 from the government, who apparently a $10,000 loan is really a gigantic hardship for them, even if they make as a household $250,000 a year or $249,000 a year. And I just see online these Catholics who were saying the Bible and the church is teaching debt should be forgiven. This is great. We should support this. And I was a Jesuit, Scholastic, I think, who was saying this, and I challenged him and said, I don't know about that. Like, the church teaches the preferential option for the poor, and it seems like if we're going to spend, and I think this program's going to cost, the Biden proposal is going to cost like $300 billion. It's like, well, if we're going to give essentially $300 billion to people, should we give it to middle-income earners so that they don't have to pay $50 or $100 extra each month? Like maybe it'll cut their payments by $50 or $100 a month. If you get rid of, I think, $10,000 of loan payments, your payment goes down, I forget, it's $50 or it's $100. Say $100. Save a middle income family $100 a month, Or would it do more good just to give $10,000 to a poor family? That would probably be monumentally change their lives more than just giving an extra $100 a month to a middle-income family. And then I debated people back and forth. And because the whole thing, what I don't like about it is, you know what, fine. People are struggling with their student loan payments. I understand that. In fact, I am grateful that my parents scared the heck out of me to not take out loans. They said, you'll be in debt the rest of your life. And they really scared me about it. And I didn't. And I'm grateful for that. They saved up modestly what they could to help me go to college. I went to community college for 2 years. It was $600 a semester. Then went to an in-state school for the last 2 years. Then I went and did online distance master's degrees to finish things out. And it would have been fun. I remember during that time period, people who went to out-of-state schools, and some of them used their student loans to buy computers, like not just like a basic laptop either, like a really nice MacBook Pro so they could surf the web and write their papers. They used the money to rent cars, to buy pizza for parties. They just took out these giant student loan payments. And now they're saying, it's not fair. I spent all this money and now I'm in all this debt with a degree that's not helpful. But look, I don't want to be cruel. Like, it is hard when you're in this kind of debt and you feel like there's no way out. So I'm in favor of finding some way of addressing the problem. This proposal, I just could not stand it. The proposal, it's like if you had an overflowing sink, okay? You imagine you have an overflowing sink, stopped up sink, and you call a plumber. And the plumber comes and he says, don't worry, I can fix this. And he takes a cup of water and he scoops out a quarter of what is in the sink and he pours it in the toilet or whatever. And he says, you're good, and he leaves. Has he solved the problem? No, he hasn't. Because in a few minutes, the sink's going to be overflowing again because no one stopped the flow of water going in, or the blockage that's preventing the water from naturally draining. You've temporarily taken away the symptoms, but you haven't gotten rid of the problem. So according to this article by the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, the article is called How Long Before Canceled Student Debt Would Return? They write, we estimate that if all eligible borrowers receive debt cancellation, because some people might not actually qualify or seek it out, the overall student debt portfolio would return to its current level of $1.6 trillion in 5.5 years in 2028. In inflation-adjusted dollars, student debt will return to its current level in 2031. So in basically somewhere between like 4 to 6 years, depending on how you calculate it, that if people's spending habits and taking out loans, if it does not change, then we're going to be back to the exact same problem we're at in the first place. Like, if we're in a giant crisis now and an action is demanded and you need to have debt forgiveness because look at how many people are suffering from debt. Okay, if the current situation demands this action, then 10, 20 grand is wipe off the slate for borrowers. The problem is, what about the kids who are in high school now? What about the kids who are going to school now or the kids who are freshmen in high school right now who will go to college? Are colleges going to get less expensive because of this plan? No way. The colleges know that the government is going to bail out students. Like, hey, take out the loans. Don't worry. If they ever get too hard, you're going to be able to, you know, you will be able to have them forgiven. You know, they'll wipe it away. Or what will end up happening is the income repayment plan. Under the income repayment plan, I think some of them, you only have to pay 5% of your income for 10 or 20 years. So that creates a perverse incentive. Suppose you take out $50,000 in loans to go to school and you work an extra job to pay for your room and board. And it's just you're struggling, but you can do it. You only take out for tuition. You work a job to do room and board, or you stay at home and you do everything you can to try to cut down your room and board. And then you have $50,000 in debt and you do the income-based repayment plan and you only have to do 5% of your income for 10 years. And then you see your friend who took out $300,000 in debt to pay for room and board. And then they get in the same income repayment plan. And so maybe you will do your $50,000 at 5% over 10 years. Maybe, maybe not, maybe. Your other friend, 5% of their income over 10 years for $300,000, they probably won't pay it off. But they won't have to. The rest of it will be forgiven. So if you're looking at this from a standpoint of your own self-interest, what would make sense is that if under the repayment plan, you only do 5% over a fixed period, even if it's 20 years, then it makes sense to borrow as much money as possible because you don't have to pay it all back. You just have to dedicate 5% of your income over the next 20 years, which then you might as well just take out as much as you can, buy a bunch of stuff, find a way to invest the money. Maybe that's illegal, I don't know. But just spend how you want because you don't have to really pay it all back. That will create a perverse incentive for borrowing and for schools to continue charging higher prices for people to go, knowing that you don't really have to pay it back anyways. So it's going to continue spiraling out of control. And that's where, I mean, it's amazing. They have a graph here actually showing the impact of, so the student loan debt puts it at $1.6 trillion in 2022 and projects that if nothing were done by 2028, I think student loan debt would be at $2.2 trillion. But it's amazing that it drops back down. So if, let's say, you know, you do the full Biden plan, 10-20K is forgiven on a lot of the debt. It drops it down to about from $1.6 trillion to like $1.1 trillion collective student debt still exists. Because once again, like there's people, yeah, okay, they get $10,000 taken off their debt, but if they took out $300,000 to go to medical school or $100,000 to go to law school or $70,000 to get their sociology degree, it's really kind of a drop in the bucket. That's what's hard for me with this is that if you only owe $10,000, if that's it, that's not really that much debt in relation to hopefully the income earning you should get from a usable degree. But I would say someone is probably burdened more if they owe $10,000 on a car than if they owe, or a credit card, than $10,000 on a student loan payment because student loan interest rates are extremely low. But if you owe, let's say, $80,000 and you get $10,000 taken away, I mean, sure, it's always nice to have debt forgiven, but it doesn't really change your life very much. It's not really that big of a difference owing $70,000 or owing $80,000. So what ends up happening is that at the end of the day, you spend a bunch of money, but the results, you don't really get a lot of results out of it. So when you're putting money towards different things, it's always hard. Like when I try to donate money, I always love finding nonprofits that can do a lot with a little, you know, really stretch out your donation. That's why I love the Against Malaria Foundation. For just a few dollars, you can send a kit to someone and you can basically protect them from malaria, which is a horrible disease for someone to get. It's like a few dollars, like $3 or $5 to give someone a malaria net. I remember actually when I was in South America sleeping with those mosquitoes coming after me, it was a nightmare trying to have the sheet over me. They get right through those sheets and go after you. It was awful. The only thing that saved me was a friend of mine had this insect repellent cream that I could put over myself. Not the spray. I had to like, it was like sunblock I had to apply. So my point there is just that if I'm going to spend money to help people, you know, I want to find the people who are in the worst straits and efficiently use the income that I have to help them the most that I can. But if you're just decreasing the amount of monthly debt for middle income earners and doesn't make that much of a difference, what are we doing here? So that's my rant. That's all I wanted to say. Oh, wait, let me add one more thing, by the way. I had a proposal that people online hated. There's people, they consider me like a villain for proposing this. And I don't think it's a bad idea. If you think I'm villainous, by the way, for this proposal, let me know in the comments at trendhornpodcast.com. I don't think this is a bad idea, but here's what I think. Okay, student loan debt, bad. It's hurting a lot of people. How do we help people with that? Well, one thing that's hard with student loan debt is that you can't discharge it in bankruptcy. So you get a lot of other debt. You can declare bankruptcy and the debt is discharged. For other kinds of debt, let's say you're underwater on your home, you can't afford your home anymore. Well, you sell the home and you foreclose it, right? You can't afford your car payments anymore. You repossess the car. The problem with student loans, of course, is that there's no collateral involved. You can't just take back the knowledge that the person gained, really. So you can't discharge. If you could discharge student loans in bankruptcy court, you would have a problem that people will game the system. Because imagine if you go to medical school and you take out $100,000 or $200,000 in debt to become a doctor, $200,000 in debt, and you decide, you know what, I'm going to declare bankruptcy to get rid of that. Now, bankruptcy is not fun. It's a 7-year period until your credit gets restored again. But you might be thinking having $200,000 in medical debt stinks too. So I'll ride out the bankruptcy period for 7 years, even if it's rough. And I've got this higher income now, and I'll save money during that time period. And then after 7 years, I'll get my credit restored, and I can go on with my life better than having this massive debt that's accruing. So that's a problem. If you could discharge student loan payments in bankruptcy court, a lot of people will game the system. So here's my proposal. You can be allowed to discharge your student loan debt in a bankruptcy court, but you have to return your degree. Your degree, the university must cancel your degree. And people were mad about it online when I proposed this. Like, it's just something monstrous. But if you buy a car and you can't pay for the car, you have to return the car. If you buy a house and you can't pay for the house, you have to return the house. Why not say, if you bought a degree, it's not about buying a degree, it's about education. No, it's not. Because you can get educated by going to the library and watching YouTube and hiring a tutor. It's about getting a degree. It's a signaling device. Read Brian Kaplan, The Case Against Education. That's all it is. So if you're buying this product to help you get jobs or certification, things like that, and you can't afford to pay for it, return it. And I think there's a lot of people, if I told them, they said, hey, I got 100 grand in student loan debt, it sucks. A lot of them would say, I don't even use my degree. I don't even use my degree in sociology, they'll say. And if I told them, hey, if you want to declare bankruptcy and get rid of your debt, would you be willing to have your worthless sociology bachelor's degree nullified? A lot of them would say yes. And in fact, a lot of people don't even have a degree. They went to school for 3 years and dropped out and have all this debt. I would say, you want those credits wiped out? Well, yes, of course they would. They don't do them any good. So I think that could solve the problem in allowing people who are really struggling with this to discharge their student loan payments in bankruptcy courts. You just have to have your degree nullified. Otherwise, people will they'll buck the system in that regard. I think one person said to me, well, you want to do that with medical debt? You know, if you can't pay your medical bills, they're going to take take away the hip, your new hip, take it out of your body. No, I'm not saying that. Medical debt is different because it's unexpected. People don't usually go and electively choose to get a ton of medical debt. That just comes out of the blue for people. But people do electively choose to pursue certain degrees and degree programs to their peril if they can't afford it. And this might be a way of helping people who can't, who are in dire straits, and preventing people from getting into bad situations in the first place. So that's my rant. That's my rant about student loans. It's probably 2 months late from the news cycle, but maybe it's good for me to talk about this when everyone's not talking about it, because I don't want this to be a super political podcast, but Free For All Friday, talk about whatever. And I am interested in it, and I find it fascinating. So hopefully you find it fascinating as well. But thank you guys so much. And yeah, I hope that you all have a very blessed day.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.